Well, good morning, Christians. Good morning. The people of God who are called and claimed and chosen by Him, grace and mercy and peace is yours. It's a tale as old as time. He was once a handsome prince living in a stately castle, but all of that changed one day, didn't it? It changed when this sorcerer woman, disguised as this old beggar lady, came into the prince's life, and she turned this stately prince into an ugly and a repulsive, and we know a very hairy, hairy, hairy beast. But this enchantress, this sorcerer woman, she didn't just stop there. She turned all of the prince's common household servants into common household utensils. Their names are familiar enough. Lumiere, Cogsworth, Mrs. Potts, and my favorite, the little teacup named Chip. And this beast, this prince, after seeing what had happened to him, he was so angry, so mad at what had happened, so mad about the beast that he had become, that he wanted to go off by himself alone, to be by me, myself, and I in his castle, to just erupt in rage and be all alone by himself. And that's what he did until one day all of that changed. When a beautiful young girl named Belle came waltzing into his life, and the beauty loved the beast, and the beast becomes beautiful. Have you ever felt like the beast before? Are there times in your lives where either you erupt in savage rage, where you say and think and do things, where you say and think and do things to other people, and you erupt in this savage rage? Or are there times in your lives where you want to retreat? To go off by yourself, by me, myself, and I, to your man cave, to your house, to just be alone by yourself, to just sit there with how beastly you truly are? I know I have. And I bet you have too. In fact, I bet your parents have as well. And their parents before them, and your great-great-great-great-grandparents before them, all the way back until our first parents of Adam and Eve. We know this. If we crack open God's holy word, if we crack open the scriptures, it's pretty difficult to find a page on the holy scriptures where this beastly nature doesn't just jump off the page at us. Think back with me to the beginning for a moment. There already at the beginning of the Bible, we hear stories like this. We hear stories about how Cain kills Abel. A little bit further on, we hear the story about how Joab kills Absalom. Then we hear about how King Herod kills all of the babies in Bethlehem in search of Jesus Christ. And then we hear about how the next King Herod, he disposes of John the Baptist because of what John the Baptist was saying and doing. And while, yes, our beastly nature might not erupt in such a violent way, we do call it another word in our lives. And it's there within each and every single one of us. It goes by the word sin. And it's there. Our sin is ready to erupt at a moment's notice, erupt in our words and our thoughts and our actions, or it's willing to erupt and call us to withdraw, to be alone by ourselves. And honestly, that's why our story for today that we heard, that Pastor Megger just read at the end, that Holy Gospel reading, the last story, the story from John's Gospel, is so peculiar, so holy another. Because in our last reading for today, we hear a story about how Jesus Christ, he seems to have a beastly nature. He erupts in righteous zeal. So let me set the stage for you. This is kind of how it's been working. Jesus is out walking around one day, and he's with his disciples. Now, his disciples, they're good old Jewish boys, right? They're raised on the Torah. They know what God's will is for their lives. And they're out walking around one day on the countryside. And as they're walking around in the countryside, they come upon this synagogue, temple, church. And when they come upon this church, temple, synagogue, there inside of it, I am told, it would have been the most beautiful structure to behold. Because there in the ancient world, it was over two stories tall, a rare sight in that day. And when you would go inside this magnificent structure, I am told that there would be wood from the floor to the ceiling. And from the floor to the ceiling, there was gold everywhere. All of the instruments used for worship were gold. And everyone had their own little special spot to stand. The Gentiles, if you weren't Jewish and you were a Gentile, because if you weren't Jews, everyone else was a Gentile. And these Gentiles, they had a special spot to come in and worship God. The women had a special place to stand. The men had a special place to stand, and God himself had a special place to dwell there in the most holy of holies. And everyone came together to be still and to be one and to bask in the presence of God, to serve and obey him, to thank and praise him for everything that he had done for him. But when Jesus and his good old Jewish disciple boys walk into the temple for today, they don't see people being one and still before the Lord. They see a marketplace. They see something wholly another. And Jesus walks in, and it seems that he's enraged by this. So what does Jesus do? He goes off by himself. And he goes off by himself, and Jesus makes an instrument of violence. He himself makes a whip, and Jesus comes back in, and he hits people with the whip. He flips over the money tables, and he drives out the cows, the chickens, and all of the sheep. Because Jesus says, my Father's house is not a marketplace. And it seems at first that this is troubling because Jesus looks a whole lot like me at times. A number of years ago, I was thinking about this text. I was thinking about this story, and I was mulling it over as I was driving home. And I don't know if you know this about me yet, we're still getting to know each other. We're kind of in our infancy stages. And as I was living down in Florida at the time. I didn't know if you knew this about me. I lived in Florida for a season of my life. I lived and worked in Florida. It's about an hour north of Miami in a town called Boca Raton, Florida. And down there in Boca Raton, Florida, I worked for a little bit. And down there in Boca, they have these beautiful things called royal palm trees, right? Why would you grow an evergreen when you can grow a palm tree? So they have beautiful royal palm trees everywhere. And these are massive, huge. And they line every street, but you can't always see where you're going because they're so big. So as I'm thinking about the story in my head for today, and the royal palm trees are blocking my view, I'm driving home at 5:36 when people normally come home, and I'm driving home in the midst of traffic, and I'm turning, going through the intersection, and about 100 yards down the road is a set of train tracks. And if you go through this intersection at just the right time, and that train comes through at just the right time, it backs up traffic. So I'm thinking about our story. There's the big palm trees. I'm not paying attention. I can't even see the turn. I go through the intersection. The chain comes through. And who gets stuck in the middle of the intersection but me? Of course. And I'm sitting there in the middle of intersection trying to stick my nose out. Trying to move, trying to go somewhere. But it seems like it's not going to work because I know what's going to happen next. And it does, because the lights change. All of a sudden, people start honking. They go, move it, buddy. Good news, somebody waves at me. Bad news, it's not the kind of wave that any pious Lutheran should be doing. And they're honking at me and honking at me. And of course, I'm there in the middle of the intersection. If I'm not there, of course, somebody could probably squeak through, but no, I'm there. I'm there and everyone's honking at me and I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I finally say, are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me? Where am I supposed to go? I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. Just chill out. And just like that, in a moment's notice, in a twinkling of an eye, this beauty becomes a beast. And I suppose what this whole sermon is really driving at is this question: what is the difference with me sitting in traffic and Jesus Christ in our story for today? What's the difference with me sitting in traffic and losing my temper and Jesus Christ in our story for today? The answer is this: the answer is everything. Jesus Christ is wholly another. Jesus Christ always has his mind set on the things that are above, the things that are pure, the things that are holy, the things that are of God. And Jesus Christ does not sin in our story for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says this: God the Father made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. God the Father made Jesus Christ, this perfect, this blameless, this holy offering, who knew no sin, to be our sin. God the Father made Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, a perfect death, a perfect resurrection, a perfect ascension, to be sin for us, because God the Father made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus did not, Jesus could not sin in our story for today because his mind was set on the things that were above. But how difficult is that for me? Perhaps for you. We know the things that are above. God tells us those things which are above. We heard about them today in our first reading, that first reading where we talked about those Ten Commandments. We all know them so well. The first commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment: don't use my name like a punctuation mark. Treat it with holy reverence and awe and something other. The third commandment: go to church. The fourth commandment: honor your father and mother. The fifth commandment: don't kill. The sixth commandment: Christians should lead a sexually pure and decent life in all we say and do. The seventh commandment: don't steal. Eighth commandment: don't lie. Ninth commandment: don't be jealous about your neighbor personally. Tenth commandment: don't be jealous about your neighbor's stuff. And these are the things that God wants us to set our mind on, that holy and that higher calling. But man, sometimes it's just so hard. How many of you have kids in the room? How many of you were a kid once? Okay, good. We all know if you're either you're taking a corrective moment with a child, or maybe you were the child that was having the corrective moment. We know that parents are placed there by God, and they're placed there by God to act in his place so that they can have the mind of the things of God. But how often is it when we go to that child and we take that corrective action, or maybe we know our parents came to us and tried to take that action, how quickly that can turn into sin? How quickly we're not concerned with the well-being of the child or God's wills, but how quickly our anger gets the best of us, or how quickly we're focused on that person getting their comeuppance. And it happens in a variety of other ways, doesn't it? Maybe it's your spouse or your coworker or your friend. And your spouse or your coworker or their friend, they're not living a life that honors God. Maybe it's with their purity or their speech or with some other words or actions. And you go to them and you want to talk to them. And when you have a conversation, instead of setting our mind on the things that are above, we get defensive when they come back at us. We don't put the best construction on everything. And that beastly nature erupts inside of us. Or maybe like the beast, we want to run away and hide. We want to be alone by ourselves. We see this happen all the time, don't we? Spouses leave one another. Parents leave children. Children leave parents. Teachers leave students. Students leave teachers. Bosses leave employees. Employees leave bosses. And this beastly nature is down right to our very core. And it comes out in a variety of different ways. And we can go by many names, but today we're going to call that beastly nature sin. And because of our sin, we put up a wall between us and God. We put up a wall, a barrier between us and God. And what could God have done? God could have said, fine, I'm done with you. I'm out of here because of our sin, because of the barrier we put up between us and him. But God doesn't do that. No, God shares with us a special message for today, and I want to read for you, actually, verbatim, what he says. It's in our second reading for today, the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, and it's actually just the last sentence. The last sentence says this: "The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strengths. God knows that this beastly nature dwells deep within each and every one of us, and yet God loved us so much that he didn't take it out on us. No, he takes the most beautiful thing in the entire creation, Jesus Christ himself, and he makes him ugly and repulsive. The enemies, they take an instrument of violence and they disfigure his back. They thrust a crown of thorns upon his head and they stretch out his hands upon a cross. And they did this because God the Father made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. So that if we're ever caught in our beastly nature and we are wondering about God's love, or we just are stuck and can't get out, God reminds us of this beauty that he has given to us, and he says these words: I promise you this. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back. And one day, Jesus Christ, he's going to stand before your tomb. He's going to stand before your hole in the ground, your mausoleum, your urn on some mantle, your brick out in some memorial garden, and Jesus Christ is going to say to you, come out. And when this happens, your dust is going to rematerialize into bones. Your bones will rattle, and flesh and sinew will cover them, and you yourself will stand in the very presence of God Almighty. And in the midst of the billions and the billions of recreated humans, Jesus Christ is going to come and find you, personally and individually. He does this in spite of our beastly nature. He does this because of our Son, who knew no sin and yet became sin for us. So, child of God, when your beast rises up inside of you, don't lash out in venomous rage. Don't run away to be by yourself with just me, myself, and I. No, come to church. Go to the people of God. Receive the forgiveness that you have as a called child of him. And why do I say this? Because the beauty loves the beast. And you are beautiful. May Jesus Christ always keep us mindful of this, as he keeps us in his grace and mercy and peace, even to life everlasting. We pray this in his name. Amen.